What does God want? We ask this question every day. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And you know, many of you know, WWJD. What did Jesus do? It is not a question just for you and me, but for all the people of God. And one of my favorite Bible verses, it is Micah 6 and verse 8. The prophet asked, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? And God was very clear. Hey, honey, my beloved, all I want is you to justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with me. It is what God wants us to do. And this is what it means to be authentically human being. And this is why God made us. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And my hope and prayer is, this is the rhythm of our church. People come in and they find their lives changed. And they go back to the Word to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And they come back to be renewed and strengthened every week. And then they go back with a renewed sense of mission. And the power of the Holy Spirit leads us in this faith journey. So John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, he invited people to receive Jesus Christ in the gift of salvation. It was the gift. It was the gift that people were to receive, to trust in God's saving work in Jesus Christ. And they would experience the new life, new birth, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a fundamental change in our orientation of life. And it changes our perspectives. It changes what we live for. And it changes our values that happen when the Holy Spirit comes in us and changes us. So John Wesley, he says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Then you become his follower and you change from inside out. And then you begin to live a life, a good life in Jesus Christ. The word sanctification. And that word sanctification, that means holiness. So he emphasizes holiness all the time. He talked about that. Or sometimes he calls the Christian perfection. So our faith journey is moving toward holiness. So holiness, the holiness he defines is not only loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, but loving your neighbors as you love yourself. That's a really good idea. That's a really, the commandment we all should work together. But it is not just not swearing anymore or not drinking too much. There is a whole lot more to holiness. So John says, holiness is when we see somebody in need, we stop and help. And it becomes our second nature. When you grow in holiness, it becomes our second nature to have compassion. It's a part of Micah's vision to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. And it becomes a rhythm of our life. So John Wesley and all the Methodists, they built a school for children who couldn't go to school because of the tuition. They couldn't afford. So he invited his small group to take a collection for the poor every week. When food was scarce in London, he collected food stuff to give to the people in need. And that was the part of what he did. And he preached against slavery. It was very unusual. It's a huge justice movement in his time. Just imagine that. Over 200 or 250 years ago against slavery. Oh my. He was so passionate about that. And all kinds of social justice issue of the day, because all of that, all of them was about, were about holiness to him. And God cares about all of those ministry. And there were some Christians, actually many Christians, who criticized John Wesley and only Methodist. And they said, okay, you preach work and righteousness. So that is kind of a theological term that has to do with the people who believed they could be saved by doing something good. So you know, we sort of adopted that, right? Somebody, if somebody asks you, oh, are you a Christian? Then some of you may answer, yes, I want to be a good person. I want to be a better person. But let me just be clear. Being a good person is important, but being a Christian is not necessarily precisely the same thing. There is something more. Something more. By the way, some people criticized Wesley saying, you are preaching about holiness and doing something good. Are you trying to say, teach people's can be saved by their work? Then Wesley said, of course not. No. We are not saved by our work. We are saved for good work. That's a huge change. Difference. I want you to ponder this for a while. We are saved for good works. This is an essential gospel idea. And Apostle Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. And Paul has been raised, he was a Pharisee, you know that. As a Pharisee, he has come to believe God is, yearning for him to fulfill the law. Pharisees. You have learned a lot about them. And believe it or not, I love Pharisee. I like them. And I find sometimes I am a Pharisee. And I see many of you. Pharisees, they were the people seeking to be pure, seeking to be holy. I love that idea. But when they became extreme, when they tried to prove that they were better than other people, and when they tried to make other people small, they became slaves. Slaves of their pride and self-centeredness. That's the one Jesus provoked, rebuked. Pharisees, they thought to be right with God meant to fulfill the law itself. There were over 600 laws in Jewish law, and they had 6,000 halakhas, rules, in Jesus' time, and they memorized every single one of them, and they tried to keep all the things. Okay, that's fine. But they made the other people who couldn't follow that, they made them small. They became, Pharisees in Jesus' time, they became obsessive to the system of law, not the love, grace, mercy, justice, and compassion of God in the law. So Apostle Paul, he understood that gospel message was, it was all about Jesus' love. Jesus came from God to show us that God loves you. God loves you. And God has done everything necessary for our salvation. And Jesus Christ came and offered himself as an atoning sacrifice, and he fulfilled the terms of the old law, old covenant, and he made a new covenant by his blood. That's the main one. And in this act of giving himself for us, he not only delivers us from feeling of guilt or inadequate, but he made a clear statement, God loves you. God loves you. Okay, at Joy Camp, kids, they remember so many things, but they know that. So God loves you, and there is?
Nothing you can do about it.
All right, thank you, Isaac. Yes. Jesus Christ offers the very lives for us, and God loves you despite the things you have done. And God is willing to forgive you even though God knows every single thing you have done. Maybe something you never want people to know. That is why we call our God the God of the second chance. Jesus wants to draw us into the right relationship with God. He has done everything necessary for that to happen. And we do not, actually we are not able to earn our salvation. God is in charge, not us. And it is freely given because God has already loved each one of us and initiates a right relationship with us. A lot of people think, oh, I do this, I have done that, even in our faith journey. It is God. I know some of you were raised in a church where you grew up with guilt. It was guilt all the time and it ruled. Oh, not that one yet. You always felt guilty when you left the church or when you do or did not do. But that's not the gospel. That's not the Bible. The gospel is God wants to take the guilt from you and gives you and me grace, freedom, and joy. And some of you grew up in a home maybe where you had to earn your parents' love. Your parents expressed love when you got straight A, or your parents expressed love when you did well in sports or cheerleading. Whatever it was. And you don't want to imagine you didn't perform that well. So you tried so hard. But when it comes to God's love, God already loves you, and we are not in charge of our salvation. God is in charge of salvation. The Pharisees in Jesus' time, it was the point they missed. God is in charge of our salvation, not what we are doing. So we just have to let God continue to work in our lives. Let God continue to love us. And we have to trust that, and we have to respond to God's love every day, and we have to try to do what God wants us to do. And we find the answer to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. So it is really important to recognize that we are saved by what Jesus did, by his grace, not by anything else we do. We are saved by Jesus, and we are saved for something. We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from our sin. We are saved from death, fear, guilt, and all the things at no cost to us but Jesus. And we are saved for something, which is what we find in our scripture reading today. It is a very important verse. It says, we are what God has made us and created in Jesus Christ. For what? For good work, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So it says we are not saved by our work. We are God's masterpieces. We are created and saved for good work. And good, you see the screen, good in Greek, agathos, it means kindness and hospitality and generosity. So our scripture says we are created and we are saved for kindness, hospitality, and generosity. And that is God's purpose for our lives, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And we are saved for good works. An English writer, Thomas Hardy, once said, he talked about the heaven. He said, the main object of religion is not to get to heaven, not to get a man into heaven, but get the heaven into a man and woman. Let me just read it again. The main object of religion is not to get a man and woman into heaven. Yes, it is important, but to get the heaven into the people. That is so true. There are so many churches that preaches salvation is a ticket to heaven. They preach the baptism is a ticket to heaven. The goal of our life work is to get to heaven. No, that is not true. That is not what Jesus speaks to us. That is not exactly what the Bible delivers to us. Salvation is found in our relationship with God, our relationship with all the people of God around us, and our relationship with ourselves. So listen, going to heaven is important. I want you to go to heaven. Maybe someday I will see you there. I want to see all of us over there. Maybe we may have a reunion in heaven. Okay, Wesley family, come gather together in heaven. I want to see that happen. There will be no suffering, no cry, no sorrow. Maybe we can do tube at the creek in heaven. We all want to go there, but Jesus came and died for us, not only so that we can go to heaven, but we can be changed and transformed here, right here, and now. And we receive the gift of the salvation in our trust in God and relationship. So in our faith journey, salvation and ticket to heaven is not the end or not the goal of our faith journey. It is the outcome to our journey. Our goal is to reach the point we have a deep relationship with God and others, and we are to offer ourselves to Christ, saying, Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Use me for your good work in my house, in my workplace, in my neighborhood. Help me. Lord, help me to find the people who need your love and care, your touch, with my kind word, prayers, and support. Lord, help me to influence by your love. Help me, lead me. That's the reason we do so many ministries. Remember that. That's the meaning of why we are doing what we are doing as a community of faith. And what's interesting is, it is not just about what we do, someone else. In the midst of this, we find our lives changed and transformed. 2 weeks ago, while clearing the creek, I could imagine how our kids would enjoy it. I could smile. It was really hard, but we could imagine that. While doing many good work, ministry, we can imagine that. God is using us to do God's work. And that is about our sanctification and being changed. We go and serve, just like Jesus Christ. And that results in not only blessing for others, for us and our salvation. And it is what we are created for in Jesus Christ. So why don't you find the meaning of your life during the week with the question. So we are saved for good work.